Well, it's my honor to be here. Take your Bible and find James chapter 1, would you? Locate James chapter 1, and when you found it, smile at me. And let me just make a few announcements for you. The book of James now, if you can't find it, find Genesis and go to the right. And you'll eventually get there. James chapter 1, locate that and then smile at me and let me make a few comments. I'm sure delighted to be here. And I pray for Ambassador. I visited here a long time ago. Just for a couple of days passing through. And yet I'm so thrilled and so honored to be a part of your beginning semester and to get to know your president and the other staff. It's just a great privilege. I am married. My wife is not in here this morning, though she is here. She'll be in the night services. You'll see her around with me on campus. And so I hope you'll get to meet my wife. I have one wife and she's beautiful at that. And that, won't that preach? Isn't that good? Amen. How many of you guys want to marry a pretty lady? Do you? Yeah, you ought to pray about that. Some of you guys need to pray hard. And so that's important. And I have 5 children. I have an Abigail who's 15. Josh is 14. Matthew is 11. Jacob is 8. And I have Charity Noel, and she is 2 years old. And so the Lord is. So they'll be in the evening services this week. If you don't see them, please come by and meet my family. Let me introduce my wife to you. I always feel that I'm not all there when my wife's not all here. So I'm sorry she's not in here, but she's homeschooling our children this morning, so that's where she is. Evangelist David Korn is my co-evangelist, my assistant, and he and his wife are here in chapel. Would you be standing? Here's David and Joy, and they're just a great blessing, and they're part of my team. David has traveled me for 2.5 years, and he and Joy are newlyweds. They've been married 4 months, and so I'm so thrilled they're here today. And it's their first time to be here as well, and so all of us are just thrilled. Hey, since I don't know a lot of you, let me see. How many of you in this auditorium are faculty staff? Let me see. How many of you are faculty staff? All right, a lot of you like that. I'm sure honored to be able to preach to you. How many of you are seniors? How many seniors we have? Let me see your head. Oh, isn't that exciting? How many juniors we have here? Where are the juniors? Where are the sophomores? You know what that word sophomore means? You've ever been told this, haven't you? Sophomore means wise fools. Isn't that exciting? I don't know why it means that, but that's what it means. And so how many sophomores? Can we see all the sophomores? All right, good to have you. How many of you are freshman class? Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful. Welcome to Ambassador. How many of you are glad to be in North Carolina? Isn't this exciting? That's right. How many Yankees we have in here this morning? Let me see your head. There's no reason to say amen to that. Just let me see your head. All right. How many of you are Southerners? Where's your Southerners? I knew we'd get some amens there. Maybe a rebel yell. How many of you are neither? I guess some of you like that. I figured we would. All right, then. How many of you are married? Let me see the married folks. Where's the married folks? Now, that's a blessing, isn't it? How many of y'all are glad you're married? All right. How many of you are not married? Let me see your head. All right. Let me get a good. Keep them up. Keep them up. I want to get a good look. All right. All right. You can take those down. Now, how many of you have a roommate that, as far as you can tell, probably never will be married? I thought we probably had some of those, too. All right, take your Bibles then to James chapter 1. Now, how many of you are familiar with the book of James? You preacher boys ought to be, and even you ladies. This is a great book. I call James a revival book. You know, James was written by James, who was inspired by God. These are God's words penned to us through this man, James. And if you know anything about the book of James, you'd probably be aware of the fact that James is humanly speaking, we would probably use this phrase, he's the half-brother of Jesus Christ. So Mary and Joseph were his parents. He was also an unbeliever, apparently, until the resurrection. When he saw Jesus Christ raised from the dead, it changed his life. That ought to change anybody's life. Don't you agree? And so James wrote this book. He was also the pastor of the Baptist church at Jerusalem. I know a lot of my friends wouldn't agree with that statement, Baptist necessarily, and it wasn't, as far as we can tell, called a Baptist church, but it certainly had Baptist doctrine and it had Baptist distinctives, and so in that case, we could categorize it that way. James pastored a church that went through some severe persecution. You and I know almost nothing about that. I remember how humbled I was the first time I ever left America to preach in another land. I went to the country of Belarus. And I preached for a pastor in Belarus that had spent, I think it was 14 years in prison because he was a preacher of the gospel. And I was humbled to be around that man. I'd never known that kind of persecution. I mean, I had kids in my public high school make fun of me because I carried a Bible to school, but I never knew what it was to go to prison for being a preacher. And oh my goodness, I was humbled by that. This church knew what it was. They had been severely persecuted. In fact, my outline of chapter 1 goes like this. It's not my sermon, but just to give you the outline of where we're headed. in the first few verses of chapter 1, maybe like verses 1 through 12, he discusses with them the situation they're facing. It was a persecution situation. How many of you have come to Ambassador and you kind of feel like maybe you're being persecuted? You read the handbook? And you felt like, man, this is persecution. Anybody felt like that? It's okay. Some of you didn't know there were so many rules when you signed up, did you? You're thinking, Lord, do you know what you're doing putting me here? And yet the Lord does. You're going to grow through this. You ought to have rules. Don't you believe that? I think it's great that guys wear ties. Isn't that wonderful? I said, I think it's great that guys wear ties here. Isn't that wonderful? You know, a lot of people don't anyway. They don't wear ties. But you know, boys, if you're going to be a preacher, you're going to wear a tie the rest of your life. You might as well get used to it now. Some of you maybe you'll never be a preacher. Maybe you'll be a banker someday. You know, every banker I know wears a tie. And so rules are great. Maybe you're feeling persecuted, but this church really suffered severe persecution. So there's the situation they're facing. And then he kind of switches gears in verses 13 and a few verses there, and he talks about the sins they're fighting. You remember those verses? Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So they were facing some sin. But then he kind of switches gears again towards the end of this chapter and talks about the steps they need to take. And that's what I want to zero in. This is a revival book. These people need revival in their life. A lot's going on in their life. They are struggling with sin. They are struggling with this persecution. They have worldliness in their life. James says to them, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? They love the Word of God. They were hearing the Word of God, but they weren't doing it. Any of you all like that? You can go to Bible college. Some of you seniors, you've been here a long time. You hear the Word of God, hear the Word of God. And if you're not careful, after a while, chapel becomes old hat to you. They were hearing the Word of God, but not doing it. That was indication they needed revival. And a lot of them didn't even have a prayer life. You ever read these verses in the book of James where he says, you have not because they didn't have a prayer. They did not even have a prayer life. Now you think about that. And those who did have a prayer life couldn't get their prayers answered because he says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. So this was a group that needed revival. They struggled with prejudice. In their situation, it was maybe different than today, but they were really, if you were wealthy and came to their church, they honored you. They gave you a seat of honor. Boy, they were impressed by you. But if somebody poor came in, they had no time for them. They had a different feeling about them. This was a church that needed revival. And here's what I want to read to you. Verses 21 and read down through verse 27. Because here's what James does. Early in this book, he gives them a basic plan for revival. Now here's what I want to do this morning. I want to give you a basic plan for revival as we go through this week. All right? Read with me verse 21. Follow along. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness. Read that next phrase out loud, everybody. I love that phrase, don't you? Say that with some umph, all right? And superfluity of naughtiness. Isn't that a great phrase? I had to look that up. I wasn't sure what that meant. I mean, I don't know if I've ever talked like that. I've never said to somebody, now, I've never said to my kids, now listen, kids, that's too much superfluity of naughtiness. And wouldn't that bless their heart if I did? They'd be like, what happened to my daddy? So I had to look this up, and in my Scofield Bible even has a little reference over here, and it says an overflowing of wickedness. Sometimes I preach on this in churches, and I can tell people, you know, if we're not careful, we look and we're like, well, you know, that's not me, you know, I'm saved, I'm away to heaven, I'm in Bible college. And yet, you know, it's amazing how often in our lives we allow an overflowing of wickedness. How many of you this summer had access to a TV? Can I see your hand? You had one at your house? Let me see your hand. Raise them good and high. Then you had access to superfluity of naughtiness. Y'all with me or not? How many of you had access to an internet computer somewhere? Let me see your head. Then you had access to a superfluity of naughtiness. So this is not something for James. This is for our day. So lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How many of you are familiar with these verses? Are you recognize them? Are you familiar with them? Now notice a little ally. James is telling them how to have a revival in their life. Here it is, the beginning of a school year. And I don't know what your summer was like. I don't know what you struggled with this summer. But I want to begin this week of revival meetings with you and just say to you, we ought to have revival. And it ought to start like this. Here's number one. Notice, based on verse 21, I would say to you, here's how to have revivals you start this year. Then number one, clean it up. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Number one, clean it up. He says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. In other words, if you're going to have the semester God wants you to have, here's a great place to start. Start by cleaning it up. Here's the second thing he's going to tell them in this passage. He says to them, now, look, come back to the Bible. Come back. How many of you worked a job this summer? How many worked a job? Raise your hand, good night. Well, everybody ought to work, don't you think? It's a wonderful thing to work. But did you find yourself so busy this summer you had no time for the Bible? You ran so fast and you had so much going on that the Word of God didn't mean as much. You didn't memorize anything. There were days you skipped the Bible, and sometimes that can happen in anybody's life, but it kind of became an ongoing thing in your life. Well, here's what James says. Well, number one, you want revival, you got to clean it up. And number two, if you want revival, you got to come back to the Bible. And then here's the third thing he says to them, verses 26 and 27. He basically says to them, all right, he says, check it up and see how you're doing. Do a little checkup and see how you're doing. Now notice, there's my outline, and we're going to get right to it and jump right in for sake of time. Look at verse 21. If you're going to have revival as you start this semester, then I'm going to say to you, number one, you need to clean it up. You need to examine your life. You need to find out things in your life that need to be straightened up, changed, improved, worked on, categorized, that need to be repented of, that need to be altered in your life. Here's how he says it. He says, lay apart all filthiness and get rid of the superfluity of naughtiness. Now watch this. James is not overly specific. Wonder why. He doesn't list things. He doesn't say necessarily specific things as much as he uses general terms. He says, all filthiness, get it out of your life. He says that the overflowing of wickedness, straighten it up, change it, lay it apart in your life. And I think the reason James does that is because the person seated next to you may not be struggling with the same thing you're struggling with. James leaves it open so that those of us on the platform, we may be struggling with something that is totally different than somebody here. Maybe you're a senior and there's an area of your life that nobody else necessarily needs to work on this morning. So he leaves it general for every one of us. You know, you can think about all kinds of areas. Filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness. I wrote down some of these in my notes this morning. I thought like this. Maybe somebody here has a real problem with your temper. See, that's called sin. Isn't it easy for us to excuse our sin? Well, we tend to say things like this. Well, that's just how I am. Anybody ever said, that's just how I am? I'm just hard to get along with. That's just how I am. It's my personality. How many have a roommate? No, don't answer that. That's just how I am. See, we excuse our sin. I just tell it like it is. You know, some people pride themselves. That's just how I am. Brother Bill, some people are like, I just tell it like it is. I just say it. And we call that's how I am. But the Bible has another word for that. The Bible calls that sin. Are y'all with me or not? So it may be your temper. It may be you're known as an irritable person. You know, God's people ought not to be irritable. Help me out. Isn't that the truth? Maybe you're famous for being grouchy or sharp-tongued or short-tempered or whatever. Maybe there's bitterness in your life. Maybe you really struggle with anger. Maybe you were careless this summer and you didn't intend to and you're ashamed of it, but maybe you looked at things on the internet you shouldn't have seen. Maybe this summer you sat in your living room around your family and you watched things on television that you should not have watched. I had a young man come forward in a revival a few weeks ago And he's just a young man. I think he was 11 years old. And he met with a counselor in this meeting. And he said to the counselor, I'm really convicted. God's really speaking to my heart about the things my family watches on TV. And the counselor came to me and said, Brother Young, his parents are good members of our church. And yet he's bothered about things they're watching on TV. What should I tell him? And I said, well, you know, he needs to respect his parents, obviously. But, you know, even a 10-year-old can get up and walk out of the room and go read his Bible in his bedroom, couldn't he? See, anybody can do it. Say, well, you know, my family watched stuff on TV this summer and I live in the house. Yeah, but that's no excuse for you to watch garbage on TV. And the Bible says, if I'm going to have revival, if these folks in James are going to have revival, they've got to clean it up. Lay apart all filthiness. Lay apart all superfluity of naughtiness. And I don't know what it is in your life. It may have been you were dishonest this summer. It may have been you took something that wasn't yours. It may have been you saw something you shouldn't have seen. It may have been that you typed in something you shouldn't have typed. It may have been you had some kind of relationship you shouldn't have had. And the Bible says right here that you need to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now I'll tell you, clean is important. Don't you agree? It's a clean campus. Isn't that a blessing? Don't you like this clean auditorium? How many of you had breakfast or lunch in the cafeteria? Did you? Aren't you glad it's clean? You ever gone out to eat somewhere in a restaurant and somebody else's food was on your fork? And I would tell you, it's not right to eat food you haven't paid for. So, Dr. Bill, I fork. That's not right. I want a clean fork. I'm for clean, aren't you? I like a clean house. I like a clean car. I like clean. I love clean. I like a clean toothbrush, don't you? Help me out, do you? Did you ever hear the story about that daddy said to his son, he said, son, go brush the teeth, get ready for bed. And the son went in the bathroom and he was gone, and he was gone, and he was gone, and he was gone. And so finally dad said, I better check on him. Daddy went in the bathroom to check on his son. And the son had daddy's toothbrush, and he was brushing the dog's teeth with daddy's toothbrush. And the dad said, son, you can't do that. He said, dad, I've been doing it for 2 weeks. Well, that'll bless your heart, won't it? See, clean is important. Y'all with me? And I'll tell you, young people, college says, moms and dads, and listen, clean is important to God. The Bible says, keep thyself pure. The Bible says that neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor covetous should not be once named among us as becoming saints. I have a phrase the Lord has let me put into my life this year. That verse I've meditated on. And that Bible verse says that no fornication and no uncleanness and no covetousness. And the Bible says, let it not be once named among you. And here's the phrase God gave to me in this year. Not one time. Not one time. Well, what is the lie of the devil? The lie of the devil in your life when it comes to sin is just this once. How many of you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced that? You ever experienced that? Just this once? I mean, you're just curious. Type that in. Look that up. Check that out. Just this one time. That's always the devil's lie. Because once you do it one time, what's his next lie? Just one more time. But God's plan is the exact opposite. God's plan is not one time. Never in my life. Never. I've got sons and I've got daughters. And in my family, one of the things we learned this year in our family devotions is not one time. I've said to my children, never in your life, by God's grace and God's help, allow garbage into your life. Never. I mean, never a drop of alcohol. Never any kind of tobacco. Never any kind of drug. Never in your life, pornography in any way, shape, or form. Never. Not one time. Now, I go over it about that. We don't have a TV. We unplugged our TV. We're way over the line. We just got rid of our TV, cleaned it out. And you know, we survived. We're doing okay. So we got rid of our TV. And I mean, we still own one because our kids do video school and there are things we'll watch, but we just unplugged the TV. There's too much garbage on it. My kids almost never get on the internet. I said to my son, Josh, he's 14 now. He asked me one day, he said, Daddy, what is pornography? You heard preachers preach about it. What is that? That's a hard thing to answer, you know. And your son's 14, so I'm trying to explain to my son, and I in very careful, sacred terminology and protecting his purity and yet being clear for my teenage son who's becoming a man, I explained things to him, and I said to him, I said, son, it is God's will that it never be once named among you, not one time, never in any way, in any shape, in any form. And then here's what I said to my son, and I hope you'll take this okay. Here's what I said to him. I said, son, somebody somewhere along the way may try to show it to you. And I said, if they do, you have my permission as hard as you can to hit them right between the eyes. And I said, if you do, I'll give you $50. My son's in the truck. We're driving. And my son looks at me. He's like, really? He's thinking this is a good deal. And then I said to him, I said, and if you knock them out, I'll give you 100. Now somebody says, Brother Young, are you serious? Pretty much. See, because I want clean. If you're going to have revival this semester and be everything God wants you to be, you may be a senior preacher boy, and yet there's some things in your life that ought not to be there. And here's James's prescription for revival. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Clean it up! Are y'all with me? There's another verse that parallels that. Hold your place in James 1. Turn back one or two pages and look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. You ever read this verse? Hebrews 12 and verse 1 is a parallel verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, watch this now, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, in, can I go down there? Will this be okay? In James chapter 1, what he says is, I need to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And then he says, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I need to lay apart every sin and every weight that doth so easily beset us. See, sometimes in our lives, when we're cleaning it up, it may not even be something that is necessarily the most wicked thing in the world. But it's hindering us from being what God wants us to be. Now watch this morning. Let me see if I can illustrate that for you. How about young man right here in the blue shirt? Would you help me, pal? Would you come on up here? And let's see. I need three good sized strong men. Give me three. Oh, we got one right there. We got a volunteer. All right. Give me a good size. We got one right here. All right. I got one, two. Come on, son. Okay, we'll take you. You stay seated. So we got another one. So I won't need you. We got one jumped up there. Come on, pal. Come quickly. All right. Now what's your name, son? All right, you guys back up. This is Daniel. Daniel, you know everybody?
Pretty much.
All right, you married?
No, sir.
I didn't think so.
Not yet.
All right, now Daniel, watch this. Daniel, here's the young man. How old are you, Daniel? Daniel's 18 years old. You a freshman? All right, Daniel's 18. He's a freshman. Now look, here he is. Now, I don't know anything about Daniel, right? I don't know anything about Daniel. I don't know where you're from. I don't know anything at all about you. But I want to tell you something. As long as Daniel is clean, the opportunities abound to serve the Lord. But a lot of times we allow weights into our life. See, come over here, pal. What's your name? All right, Curtis, I want you to get hold of him right there. You're just a weight in his life. So hold on to him, all right? No, come on. Be a man. Get him. Get him. Both in. All right, you got it? Now, you're just going to weight him down. Let's say maybe it's some kind of music in his life that's not honoring to the Lord, but here it is. And he's got it in his life. Here's Daniel. He's got all the opportunity in the world, but he can't serve the Lord because he's weighted down. What's your name, son? Ryan, come over here, Ryan. You get him on that arm, and you hold him real good. Actually, I tell you what. You stay right here. Are you an upperclassman? Oh, you're a freshman. All right. So, are you a freshman too? All right. So this is good. Are you a freshman? Oh, we got three freshmen here. All right. Now let's see. What could be another weight in our life? We got maybe the wrong kind of music. Maybe he's got some friend that's a hindrance to him. What does the Bible say about friends? Are you friends? Okay. Maybe this is of the Lord. Now watch this. The Bible says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be." But a companion of fools shall be what? Now, you boys believe the Bible? See, if we believe the Bible, I cannot have fools in my life as friends and be what God wants me to. It'll destroy my life. So here's Daniel. And look, Daniel looks good. I use that term casually. Daniel looks good, but now watch this. If he's got music in his life that's not honoring to the Lord, notice it's a weight, it's a hindrance, it's holding him back. He's got to clean it up. Maybe he's got a friend. Come on over here, and you be a hindrance in his life. You just put your fist right there. Now, don't hurt him or anything. But notice he's got all these weights in his life. He can't serve the Lord. Now what are you studying, Daniel? One-year Bible. So you're just seeking the Lord's will for your life. He's seeking the Lord. He doesn't know everything the Lord. He's only 18. He doesn't know who he's going to marry. He doesn't know if he's going to marry. He doesn't know what job. See, there's all kinds of things Daniel doesn't know. But I can tell you this. As long as Daniel has weights and garbage and sin in his life, and I don't know that he does, but if he does, notice he can't do anything for the Lord. Here he is. The truth of the matter is right now, he couldn't even get from here to the back of the room with all this baggage in his life. You think you guys could stop him from getting to the back of the room? Sure. And weights and weights and sin will do that in your life. See, the Bible says we're to be free to serve the Lord. And here's some of you this semester starting. It's early in this school year, and the semester's getting started. And the truth of the matter is, you will not be everything God wants you to be until you're willing to say, Lord, there's stuff in my life that's not honoring to you, and I got to clean it out. That's what James is trying to say. It may be here's a friend, maybe a wrong kind of friend, maybe it's the wrong kind of music. Maybe it's a girlfriend. And I'm not saying you're a girl, but help me out here. Isn't it true that there's a lot of guys get out of God's will because they date some beautiful girl and they think, oh. And next thing you know, his mind's going the wrong way. They're walking down the wrong way. See, you've got to clean it up. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, get these out of your life. Clean it up. So listen, you got some kind of music in your life? Then here's what the Bible says. Get it out of your life. That's simple, isn't it? I got to clean it up. I got to say, you know, Lord, I'm told. When I got saved, I was 15 years old and I was in a public high school. And one of the first things God convicted me about was music. And I'm right. It's all kinds of stuff away. I lost a lot of money, but took a lot of steps in the right direction. See, it's cleaning it up. Listen, if you got some kind of friend in your life and that friend is not helping you to serve the Lord, then what you ought to do is you ought to say, dear God, I'm finished with that friendship, and you ought to clean that out of your life. Listen, if you got a girlfriend that looks like this, you better get rid of her. That's the truth, isn't it? Help me out right there. We are friends, aren't we? Okay. Now look, do you see the difference? See, here's what some of you freshmen are not going to be the preacher God wants you to be because you've got some weight in your life. And notice James is general, and the writer of Hebrews is general. He calls it a weight. He says it's a sin, then he says it's a weight. So somebody says, well, you know, that this music's not that bad. Well, maybe it's not that bad, but God's been talking to you about it. You're beyond where some people are. There's some people aren't ready yet for God talking about their music. Maybe there's somebody you knew back in your church, wherever you're from, or maybe somebody you went to school with, and the Lord's not talking about their music yet because they got so many other things in their life, they're not even ready to deal with music yet. But y'all are in Bible college, and it's high time that you go above and beyond and take steps maybe beyond where everybody else is so that you can be free to serve the Lord. So the Bible says, lay apart, clean it out, clean it up, come clean, so that this year, Almighty God can accomplish His will in your life. Are y'all with me this morning? So what is it in your life? What is it in your life that you know what, if I took care of that, I'd be a better Christian. If I dealt with this in my life, man, I wish I weren't so grouchy. I wish I didn't have this problem with my tongue. I wish I weren't so hard to get along with. I wish I weren't so lazy. Oh, it's time you come clean and change all of that. Lady in a revival meeting said to me one day, Brother Corn and I were in a revival in somewhere in Indiana, southern Indiana. I can't remember the name of the town now. We were in this revival, and it was the kind of church that kind of caught me off guard, because when I got there, they did things I wouldn't necessarily have done in the service. But I knew that, you know, that I scheduled this church, I really knowing it. And so I got there, and so some things made me nervous, but I really challenged the church on Sunday morning. I said, how many of you will say this to God? Anything God says to you in this revival, you'll do it. Whole bunch of people said they would. The last night of the revival, Daniel, was Wednesday night. And this lady met me, a building a little bit smaller than this, maybe, but she met me down the middle aisle, and she said, Brother Young, can I talk to you? She's an older lady. And I said, well, you sure can. And she said, this is before the service started. She said to Brother Young, she said, I told God Sunday morning that anything He said to me, I would do. And she said, I went home this afternoon, and I sat down to do something I have done all of my adult life. She said, I sat down to watch my favorite soap opera. Now, I didn't say a word about soap operas. I didn't preach on it at all because I didn't think of it. If I had thought of it, I probably would have. But it didn't cross my mind. So I didn't say anything about it, but apparently God was talking to her about things I hadn't even said. And so she said to me, God spoke to me about my soap operas. And she said, God, the Holy Spirit seemed to say to me, would you give this up for me in this revival? And she started crying. And she said, Brother Young, she said, I gave it up. And she said, I'm so glad this revival's ending tonight, because if I have to give up anything else, I ain't going to have nothing left. Now, you may be a freshman, you're thinking that maybe you're a senior. Maybe you're a senior and you're still holding on to a sin and you're still struggling. James says to you, don't you think it's time you come clean? Don't you think it's time you deal with this? Don't you think it's time you get that out of your life? You see how James is telling them to have revival? Come clean. All right, guys, you can have a seat. Here's the second one. Come back to the Bible. Now, we're almost out of time, so let me give you these last two and we'll be done. He says, come back to the Bible. Now, isn't that a simple little phrase in James chapter 1? That's such a simple little phrase in verse number 21, where he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. You know what? Maybe Dr. Bill's going to preach some messages this year as we start this opening revival. Maybe he'll preach tonight. And the truth of the matter is, whether or not you're going to have revivals based on whether or not you're going to receive with meekness. You might think like this, well, I wasn't brought up that way. Well, it may be that you weren't brought up that way, but maybe it's God Almighty trying to change the way you were brought up. Are y'all with me? Do you see this? Receive with meekness. Look in verse 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Boy, this is a big one for Bible college. You can hear the word of God over and over and over and over and over and over again and it not mean what it ought to mean to you. Notice there's something here about receiving it, something here about doing it. In verse 23, if any be a hearer and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. You and I are to obey the Word of God. We're to do the Word of God. We're to love the Word of God. We're to look into the Word of God. We're to live the Word of God. We're to learn the Word of God. This book will change your life. You need it every day. Some of you had a summer this summer in which the Word of God has kind of been on the back burner. You haven't had time for the Bible. You haven't memorized the Bible. Some of you this summer might not even done much at all about opening the Bible and telling somebody else how to be saved. That can be true in a faculty staff, can't it? You can get so busy serving the Lord in a Christian ministry that you don't remember the last time you tried to win somebody to the Lord and your heart's cold and you need revival too. It could happen in an evangelist's life. It can certainly happen in a student's life. In the Bible, you're saying, come back to the Bible. I love verse 25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I'm to look into the law of liberty. I'm to continue in the law of liberty. I'm not to forget what I hear. I'm to do the work that the Bible says I'm to do. And if I do, the Bible says I'll be blessed in my deed. How many of you want the blessings of God? Do you? All right, here's what the Bible says. Then get in the Word of God and do it. You say, yeah, but I'm a senior now and I've grown a lot in the Lord. The Lord's not finished with you, son. If you're a senior, you ought to grow more this year than the freshman because you ought to be farther down the road. You ought to grow more as a junior than it is a sophomore because you're farther down the road. You ought to love the Bible more. You ought to make sure that you love this book. You ought to spend time in it every day. You ought to learn this book. You that are married and have children ought to teach this book to your children. You ought to emphasize it. You ought to talk about it. You ought to love it. And you ought to bring your Bible to chapel and you ought to enjoy the chapel services here. I mean, enjoy it. Be an active listener. You know, my kids, occasionally we do video school, which they have DVDs and they watch their classes on DVD. And it didn't take me long after we started doing DVD school to realize that my kids can watch a DVD and not be there. Anybody here were on DVD school? Anybody here homeschool like that? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Were you that way? Did you watch the whole class and didn't have a clue what they said when you were done? My kids are that way. I paid a lot of money for those videos and that bothered me. They didn't get anything out of it. I mean, I look at my class, my kids, they're sitting there watching their video screen. I mean, the wheel's turning, but the hamster's dead. It's the truth. Bars are down, the lights are flashing, but the train's not coming. They're just not there. You can do the same thing with the Word of God. You can sit in chapel, Dr. Bill or one of the Bible faculty or Dr. Comfort or Evangelist Dave Young. Or you can have the Word of God in your lap, and yet there'd be nothing there. What the Bible's saying right here is you've got to come back to the Bible. Read it every day. Love this book. Live this book. Learn this book. Memorize this book. I mean, get it with your family. Turn the TV off. It's not all if you're even permitted to have them, but if you are, turn that TV off more than you do. You'll survive without it. Say, well, I need to watch the news. Well, that'll encourage you. Well, I need to watch the weather. Well, I can tell you what the weather is. It's going to be warm. A few months, it's going to be cold. See, you can figure out the weather on your own. If it's wet outside, it's probably raining. Right? If white stuff's coming, it's snowing. You can figure out the weather, can't you? So you don't have to always, listen, what I'm saying to you, some of you in your family, some of you are married, and in your family, you catch the news and you catch the weather, but you don't teach your kids the Bible. Clean it up. Y'all with me? Come back to the Bible. Here's the last thing he says, our time's gone. Let's check it up. Let's just check up and see how we're doing. Okay, now look at verse 26. I love this. If any man among you seem to be religious. All right, now stop. Hold on. Now this is going to be strange, but I want you to do it. I want all of you to look around at each other. Some of you look behind you. All you folks over here on this side, I want you to look at these people over here. Look at them. Y'all look, lean over and look at them. All you people over here, lean over and look back at them. Look at each other. Don't wink, but look. All right, now look at each other. Everybody see each other? Let me ask you a question. Don't we seem to be religious? Okay, let me ask that again. Don't we seem to be religious? Answer that yes or no, do we? Sure, we seem to be religious, don't we? Man, we look good! Well, most of them. look good in our ties. The girls are dressed modestly here in this school. God bless them. Amen. Amen. So we look religious. But notice this. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. Ooh, watch this now. You want to check up on your Christianity? Here's the place to start. How's my tongue? I mean, am I careless when I'm in the room with the guys about little things I might say that's not all that bad, but it's not necessarily all that clean either? If I bridle not my tongue, it's an indication I need revival. Some of you are married, and you're the nicest guy in the world when you're at Ambassador Baptist College in Bible class, but you're a grouch box when you get home. You're not right with God. It's a tongue problem. Aren't you glad you came to chapel to hear that? Listen to that. It's a tongue problem. Well, girls, if you're not careful, you can get in your residence hall and you can just be hard to get along with and sarcastic and negative and tearing down and damaging. And I'm telling you, the place to examine your Christianity is, number one, in your tongue. Check up. Am I controlling my tongue? Look at the next one down there. In fact, he says, if things aren't right in my tongue, my religion is vain. Where your religion really matters is when you're talking in your residence hall room, when you're at work and you're talking to folks on the job. It's a matter of what comes out your lips. That determines how you're doing spiritually. Y'all with me? All right. Then here's the second one. Check it up. Now check it up. Verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Now that's a strange statement, isn't it? If I gave you all an assignment, all right, here's your assignment. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. All right, you finish the sentence. Brother Bill, I don't know that I'd ever come up with that one. Here's pure religion. Visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. That one kind of caught me off guard. Does it you? That doesn't seem right, does it? I mean, isn't there things that are more important than that? Listen to the right kind of music. I mean, I can think of all kinds. But I didn't think of this one. Anybody else with me on this or not? Now, I mean, I knew the Bible, but if I didn't know the Bible, I wouldn't think of this. In other words, here's a point I can make. You want to check up on your Christianity? Check up on your tongue. And check up on your compassion for others. Now, there's a specific here, fatherless and widows. But how do you care about others? Who'd you witness to this summer? Who did you have a compassion on this summer? Was there a kid in your church on a bus route that didn't smell that great and was hard to get along with and caused all kinds of trouble and you didn't care? Compassion for others determines my Christianity. How about you upperclassmen? How have you done with the freshmen? I remember when I went to Bible college. I was scared to death. I was scared to death. I mean, I came out of a public school. I went to high school with weirdos. Went to a Christian college and found out there were some there. And by weirdos, I don't mean that in a bad sense. I just mean strange people. There's strange people everywhere. Have you noticed that? Well, some of these freshmen got a strange roommate. If you're wondering, it's probably you. Now, think about this. Do you care about others? James says, here's a barometer of your Christianity. Here's the last thing. I need to check up and see whether or not I'm clean. Notice he comes right back to where he was in verse 21. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Got any dirt in your life as we start this year? Got some things you were careless about? Some areas where you lowered your standards, you dropped the ball, you threw in the towel, you gave up, you were careless. Then James says, look, here's a plan for revival, church. He's talking to people he loves, and now they're scattered all over the known world, and their prayer life's not what it ought to be. They don't do the Bible like they ought to do the Bible. They've got prejudice in their life. They're struggling with sin. They're bitter. They're angry. They're going through trials and difficulties, and they don't have the wisdom to handle it. And there's all kinds of need in this church. He says, you need revival. And let me just tell you how to get it started. Number one, clean it up. Number two, come back to the Bible. And number three, here's what you'll do. Check up and see how you're doing. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Here's a basic plan for revival. So let me just ask you this, and our time's gone. Here's a simple question for you. All right, we're starting this new year, so how you doing? Now, faculty staff, that's a good question for me and you. How are we doing? College students, how you doing? And I suppose another question would be, okay, what are we going to do about it? Well, that's simple, isn't it? Would you sit up straight and put your back against the seat and close your eyes for prayer? We're going to go to class here in just a second. Close your eyes for prayer. Sit up straight. Close your eyes for prayer. How many of you say this morning in this college chapel, you'd say, you know, Brother Young, as we begin this semester, as we begin this year, I know there's some areas in my life where I need to clean some things up. It may not be big. It may not be the largest thing in the world. But in your heart, you know there's some areas that need to be cleaned up. And you know it. Let me see your hand this morning. Would you raise it good and high? Now you take your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, Brother Young, I have been careless. I've been busy. It's been a busy summer. It's been a busy year. And the Word of God is just, my goodness, Brother Young, the Word of God has just been such a struggle for me. I've been careless about it. I've let it go. I haven't read my Bible like I should have. I haven't memorized the Bible. I haven't been a soul winner like I should have. And Brother Dave, I need to just come back to the Bible as we start this year. Here's my hand, Brother Young. Let me see your hand. How many of you like that? Oh, my goodness. And how many of you say, but when I go through that checklist, I can see some areas that, boy, I need to catch those three areas. I just, Brother Young, God's speaking to me. Let me see your hand there. How many of you like that? And God bless you. God bless you. All right, now you take your hands down. Everybody look at me, would you? Everybody look at me. I think we ought to pray about that, don't you? I think we ought to pray about it. Now here's how we're going to do it. Let's do a I Surrender All. Can we do I Surrender All, ladies and gentlemen? Let's do I Surrender All. I love that chorus, that song. Let's do I Surrender All. And let's do this. They'll play for us. And let's just have them play. We won't sing right away. Let's have them play. Because so many of you raised your head. I think if we can, we ought to get on our knees. Now, you can come forward if you want to, but you can turn around at your pew and get on your knees. And let's just take a few moments and pour our heart out to the Lord. Come clean. Come back to the Bible. Check up and see how you're doing. Have an old-fashioned revival in your heart today as we start this revival week. Okay? Stand with me quietly, would you? Almighty God, would you work in our hearts and in our life and in our midst today? Oh, Lord, help many of us to kneel. We need to come clean. We need to come back to your word. Help us to surrender all at the beginning of this semester, I pray. And, oh, Lord Jesus, I ask these things in your name.